I have said this vort a number of times in the past, but I think it's certainly worth repeating because it contains within it an extremely essential message with regards to spiritual progression. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Pei Tet Amud Aleph says, the Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, it's a Gemara in Menachot as well, Ma Nishtana Tchelet Mikol HaTzivonim. What is different about Tchelet, the color that we have on our tzitzit, from all of the other colors? B'mnei Shetchelet Dome LeYam, VeYam Dome LeRakia. The color of Tchelet, a bluish-purplish color, is similar to the sea. And the sea is similar to the heavens above. Verakia dome le'even sapir. And the heavens above resembles the sapphire stone, even sapir. Ve'even sapir dome le'kisei hakavod. And the sapphire stone is similar or reminds us of the throne of God. Dichtiv. Vayiru et Elohei Yisrael v'tachat raglav k'maasei livnat hasapir. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from our parsha. Bnei Yisrael, who were led by Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, and Shivim mizikne Yisrael. These outstanding scholars and leaders of Am Yisrael witnessed, kiviyachol, a glimpse of the Shekhinah. The glimpse of the Shekhinah that they had was similar to the color of the sapphire stone on God's throne. That is what the Tchelet is meant to remind us of. And one of the questions that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal asks is why is it necessary for the Gemara to give us this long description of how we arrive at the throne of God as a result of looking at the color Tchelet in our tzitzit fringes? Why is it necessary for us to look at the color Tchelet and to remind ourselves of the sea, which reminds us of the sky, which reminds us of the sapphire stone, which then reminds us of Elohim HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why not simply say, look at the blue and the strings of the Tchelet, and that reminds you immediately of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence? And Rav Moshe says a tremendous insight. He explains that when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to reminding ourselves and nurturing a spiritual perspective, spiritual development is progressive. It's something that requires a commitment and a subservience which is gradual. There is no such thing as instantaneous spirituality or instant gratification with regards to religiosity. Spirituality takes time. One has to develop one step and after another. And therefore the Gemara says, first we're reminded of the sea, then we're reminded of the sky, and so on and so forth. Because ultimately, only when we take our time and slowly but surely move through spiritual challenges do we eventually arrive at recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Ol Haaretz Kvodo, in full appreciation. It's a problem which plagues our generation, because our generation does not have patience. The generation that we live in wants instant gratification. They are not willing to wait or to invest with time. I remember once I was walking in New York City many years ago, and one of the t-shirts that they were displaying on the sidewalk was of one of the great icons and leaders of our generation, none other than Bart Simpson. I always say that I believe that Art Scroll should write a whole biography about Bart Simpson as well. Well, sure enough, on this t-shirt, you have Bart on his skateboard, and he says, "I am an underachiever, and I am proud of it." Well, that to a certain extent really envisions and sort of summarizes the generation that we live in. If you're an achiever, it means that you have achieved fast. It means that you have amassed a certain amount of wealth in as short a time as possible. And if you're an underachiever, well, that's okay. Be proud of it. Because perhaps we're not willing to work and invest enough time in order to achieve, in spiritual sense, certainly in terms of what we're talking about. The Torah left an indelible effect and said that this is certainly not the way that one should move about his religious development. And it is for this reason, in my understanding, that the entire context of Parshat Mishpatim is built around a spiritual model, how we should conduct ourselves religiously. The beginning of the parsha deals with the mitzvot of avadim, of servants that we might have, of damages, how one should treat his servant, personal injury, if God forbid someone injures someone else, and certainly a sense of tolerance and kindness with regards to how we are mityaches, how we treat a ger, a convert, yatom, almana, an orphan, a widow, and monetary infractions as well. This whole claim of mitzvot, this whole slew of mitzvot, of which the Torah opens with, represents none other than mitzvot ben adam lechavero. How man should behave with integrity, with compassion and sensitivity to his fellow man. And then the Torah moves on to the next area of mitzvot. And those are Elohim lo tikalel, God forbid a person cannot curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dietary laws, laws which according to many of the Rishonim are not necessarily understandable or comprehensible. Laws of Shabbat, the laws of Chagim, holidays, the day of rest in which we are meant to reflect upon our Creator HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the Torah is now moved into a realm of what we would call mitzvot bein adam lemakom, man's rapport with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, the Torah introduces Bnei Yisrael's ultimate mission. Hine anochi sholeach malach lefanecha in Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Chaf lishmorcha baderech v'laviacha el hamakom asher hachinoti. I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let us understand, Rabotai, that the Torah is telling us, in order for you to arrive in Eretz Yisrael, in order for you to appreciate the land that I gave you, you have to move with slow, gradual progress. First, you have to appreciate mitzvot bein adam lechavero, man's relationship to his fellow man. Then you can have a greater appreciation of Ben Adam LaMakom, man's relationship with his Creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And only then does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, now you are worthy, and I will bring you into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Asher Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba Mireshit Hashana Ad Acharit Hashana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's undivided attention is focused on Eretz Yisrael. Why? Eretz Yisrael is a Mikdash Muat. It is a home of the Shekhinah. It is the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It represents the throne of Hashem above. And therefore, again, the Torah wants us to understand that we have to move with gradual process in order to attain our greatest level of spirituality, i.e., Eretz Yisrael, the Ruchniyot of the country itself, that represents the Even Sapir, the sapphire stone on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of the parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe to come up to the mountain to accept the Torah. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, alei elai hahara, veheyesham, ve'enalecha et haluchot ha'even ve'atorah ve'amitzvah asher katavti lehorotam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites Moshe exclusively to come up to the mountain. But the following pasuk Yud Gimel in Perek Chof Dalid says, "Vayokom Moshe v'Yoshua mishartu, v'yal Moshe el har Elohim." Moshe and Yoshua immediately respond. They arise to the occasion and they begin to come to the crest of the mountain. But then only Moshe walks up and ascends the mountain itself. And Rashi says, but Kadosh Baruch Hu invited only Moshe to come. What is Yoshua doing here? All of a sudden, Vayaka Moshe v'Yoshua mishavto. Yoshua, his entrusted servant, comes with him. Rashi says, Lo yadati mativo shel Yoshua kan. I do not understand what Yoshua is doing here in the context of these psukim. And I think the answer is that perhaps the Torah is trying to surmise what we had just described. Who is the greatest demonstration of patience, of subservience? Yoshua. Yoshua is someone who knows that he's going to assume the mantle of leadership, and yet he waits patiently till the years and the time of the leadership of Moshe is at an end. He does not look to interfere. He does not impose his opinion upon Moshe. He does not look to promote a personal agenda. He is completely subservient to Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he always did and will continue to always live in the shadow of the prototype of Jewish leadership of his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. Nonetheless, Yoshua demonstrates patience. He demonstrates a progression. He realizes it is not my time to be leader. I still have to develop. I still have so much to learn. I still have so many experience to recognize in order for me to assume that wondrous leadership capability and the leadership of Am Yisrael. And therefore, perhaps this is why the Torah places or inserts Yoshua here. Not only does Yoshua follow his Rebbe to the crest of the mountain, but then the Torah says, Vayal Moshe. Moshe goes up by himself. Yes, Yoshua knows how to take a step back, to be patient, and to wait for his Rebbe Moshe to bring the Torah down the mountain to hand to Am Yisrael. And therefore, the entire beginning of the parsha teaches us spiritual progression, and the end of the parsha, by introducing us to Yoshua, demonstrates that there are people who successfully progress in spirituality, i.e., the greatest example, Yoshua, Talmido Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. We should all be zoche to appreciate that our development in religiosity takes time and patience and certainly investment. And as a result of that, we will truly appreciate and understand the great value of the gift of the Torah has to offer to Am Yisrael, the Torah that Moshe gave us and that we are supposed to use in order to infuse greater spiritual and religious awakening for us and for future generations. Shabbat Shalom.